Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I think, you know, grooming is probably too strong a word because it presumes that, you know, this was definitely going to happen. I'd say, you know, it was exposing David to lots of different parts of the organization and that maybe you don't get to see as a player. And then also, you know, we derived a lot of benefit from it as well, having his experience and his voice in our scouting meetings, in our R&D meetings, in the clubhouse a lot when he would come in. So I think in the end, the way it turned out, it did help prepare him in a unique way. But I wouldn't say he was being groomed for it because we didn't know until, you know, several days ago that he would be our choice for manager.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Ricketts joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. What was your role in David Ross signing? Did you groom him in some fashion?
I did no grooming, but obviously that is a baseball decision. But it's been great. You know, after David left the team as a player, he's been around the organization for the last few years, and I think he spent a lot of time with our baseball front office, and I think he's gotten very comfortable. Everyone got very comfortable with him, and we're pretty excited to have him on board.
There was a lot going on in the city Monday, Tom, and obviously your brother Todd hosted the president at a fundraiser, and about the same time that the Cubs were introducing David Ross at the team headquarters, a lot of people noticed you weren't there. Laura was representing the family. What kept you from attending the press conference?
Oh, yeah, it would have been nice to be at the press conference. You know, I typically get to the manager press conferences. I had another commitment in Washington. There's an ongoing discussion between the Tribune Corp, who sold us the team, and the IRS, and I was requested or summoned by the IRS to D.C. to discuss what I know about the deal. So I couldn't be at the Ross press conference, which I'm sorry about, because I think he'll do a great job.
Did you sit in on any of those meetings with him, Tom? We were joking about it when Theo was interviewing him for the second time. Like, what could he learn about the guy that he doesn't already know? Like, what question do you come up with?
Well, I think it's pretty funny. Theo is thorough, if nothing. Like, you know, he was telling me about the process. Well, we had an 8-hour meeting. I'm like, what do you do for 8 hours in a meeting? But they ran him through fake press, through press conferences and different scenarios. But I think that all Cub fans should be pretty excited about bringing back in Ross. I mean, a manager ultimately has to do two things, right? He has to manage the game, and as a proven winner and a guy who was a catcher on some great teams, and he really understands the game as well as anyone could. And people were always expecting Ross to be a manager even before he was a Cub. And then you got to manage the clubhouse, and that's about charisma and personality. Can you be a consistent motivational leader and have what all the great managers have, and that's ability to relate to players? And I think that David checks both those boxes, and so we're pretty excited to have him.
You know, Tom, I think it's, you've made no secret about how fond you were of Joe Maddon, a Cubs legend, and I think everybody understands why. So as this sort of played out, how difficult was it for you to separate those sort of personal feelings from sort of the professional conclusion by your baseball people that it was time to move on?
Now, obviously, Joe and I have a good friendship, and I really appreciate it all the time I spent with him over the last 5 years. And he did a terrific job for us, and he'll go down as one of the Cubs' best managers of all time. But, you know, there's time for a change. I think everybody knew it. I think Joe knew it. I think our baseball guys knew it. I think our fans know it. So we're looking forward to, changing the clubhouse a little bit and letting David do his thing.
Tom, obviously, when people talk to you about the team, or when you hear fans talk about the team, they want to know about the payroll, about how much you're pouring into it, and what you're doing to keep this team successful. And I don't think anyone can question how much money you've put into this team. And we, depending on what website you look into or where accounting firm puts together the numbers, you're the first or second, I think second highest payroll in baseball, and you had to dip into the luxury tax last year. How does this balance now moving forward, when you're already, you know, you could lose draft picks if you keep violating that? When do you have to rein in the spending and make sure that you're not reliant upon free agents more than people that are being developed from within?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the good news in there is that over the past 10 years, we've done a lot to build up the business side, you know, and our business guys have done a great job of getting all the resources that they can for the club to put to work. But, you know, it's not about how much you spend, it's about how much you win. And the correlation between spending and winning is not nearly as strong as we'd like it to be, in a sense. Obviously, the top couple teams in the league didn't make the playoffs. We spent more than every team that made the playoffs, and probably a couple of them combined. But even if you really thought that spending was the answer, you know, the free agent market is always fraught. I don't think anyone is any better than anyone else in the free agent market. It's always a high-risk thing. And as you point out, Molly, like, the fact is, if you want to outspend everyone and try to win, you start bumping into the luxury tax, which this year we'll pay several million dollars to the league, which is kind of a deadweight loss that goes to the other teams. And on top of that, if you do it for too long, the fees go up. And if you do it for too much, then you lose draft picks. So, I mean, ultimately, it's great to have the financial resources that we do. It's an advantage, and there's no doubt about it. But the real key is you have to develop players. You can't really buy teams. You have to build them. I think everybody in baseball understands that. Our guys know that. And we have to really just refocus on, you know, drafting well, and then working on a lot of the newer analytics and newer strategies for developing players to get their maximum potential. And that's really what our challenge is now looking forward.
Yeah, I think next year the threshold is $208 million, Tom. So I think that there's a lot to that you said there. You have to keep an eye on that, because if you start to get penalized as much as $40 million or draft picks, that's not a direction you want to head. So obviously the focus shifts to the hot stove and the trades, and there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of conversation. In that context, what are the implications to you of the Chris Bryant grievance hearing, and how do you prevent that from becoming too big of a thing?
Well, the Chris Bryant grievance hearing basically determines if Chris has an extra year of service time, and that'll all be ironed out over the next few months. It'll make a difference in when he becomes a free agent. Effectively, he can become a free agent sooner should he win his grievance. Yeah, it has some effect. I mean, it obviously is a factor, but there's a much bigger picture than just that. Our baseball guys have to sit down and think through how they're going to construct a team that will give Ross a chance to win for us next year, and that's just one piece.
Tom, you know, we saw an incident last night in the World Series where there was a play that looked like it was being reviewed that apparently can't be reviewed, but there was communication to New York, and mercifully, that won't be the main topic of discussion in the offseason, which, again, when you're talking about elimination games, there's that threat. Where are you personally at? You go to the games, you make yourself available to people. The pace of play thing seems like something that baseball is going to have to deal with, and certainly when we start talking about 3.5-hour games and you know, Fox wants those games on in prime time, and so that's difficult when you got one team on the East Coast. These games are bleeding into 11 o'clock, close to midnight. And again, this is just me as a morning guy complaining about it. But where do you stand on this subject? How difficult is this, and how important is this to reel in? I'm sure you guys are talking about it all the time.
Well, first of all, I stayed up watching that game last night too, and it was a great game. And I am also very, very glad that play at first base with Turner coming down the line wasn't a play that impacted the game, because it was such a judgment call, and you hate to see a you know, a judgment call like that that would have a big impact. And by the way, just as an aside, I mean, how good was John Smoltz last night? I mean, I just
breaking it down.
Yeah, he's got Altuve 0-2 pitch. He's like, oh, he's going to put this one on the plate. He's got to bounce it. Otherwise, Altuve or put it in place. Anyway, he knew what he was doing.
You should hire him, Tom. Marquee Sports, I ought to hire that guy.
Yeah, right. There we go. I think he's got a bigger job. But we do have to kind of pick up the pace. The league knows it. There are things the league wants to do. Some of them have to go through the Players Association. It's a front lobe issue for the league right now, and we have owners meetings coming up in a couple weeks here. I'm sure they'll have suggestions for next year. So I don't know what those are yet, but I know we want to keep moving the ball forward and just keep the game moving forward.
Tom, I know you leave the baseball decision to Theo and Jed, but when Theo says there are no untouchables on this team, do you agree? Because there are some guys that have been here a while: Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javi. I mean, you could go down the list. Are there any untouchables on the Cubs in your mind?
Maybe there's some less touchables, but I don't think there's any untouchables. I think that once again, I leave all those decisions to those guys. They have to have the freedom to operate. And I think where we've seen Theo and Jed at their best is when they have the ability to be creative and the ability to think outside the box and to do things that they think make sense. So there are no untouchables. We have a lot of great young players that we really appreciate. We've all seen them grow up, and there may be some people that if they do leave, then it's harder emotionally, but we've got to look forward. You know, we can't live in the past. It's all about what happens next year, not what happened 3 years ago.
Tom, we'll let you go. Just curious on the way out. We keep talking about a two-year window because of the contracts of the players and all the rest of it. Do you view this as a two-year window, or is it always year-to-year, game-to-game for you?
I don't really have a two-year window in anything. The fact is that, you're talking about a lot of the players becoming free agents in a couple years. Is that the two-year window?
Right.
Yeah, there was a period of time a few years ago when we were holding back a little dry powder for when the players were a little more developed, young players are more developed, because we didn't feel like it was right to really be adding a big free agent before we were ready to win, in a sense, and try to kind of save that for when we thought the players were ready. Right now, I think we're pretty developed. We're fully formed, and we should be able to be consistent without windows. We have the resources financially. We have good young players. Maybe we can't keep them all because of the salaries they'll demand over the next few years. But ultimately, now I think we can stop talking about windows. We should be consistent, and we should be looking toward building a division winning team every year.
Great, Tom. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
That's Tom Ricketts, the Cubs chairman.
Interesting.
It's a great answer there.
It was a good answer about the windows.
If you're a Cub fan, you love hearing that.
You like hearing that. Every year matters. Every season is sacred, I think Theo Epstein once said.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.